Well, brothers and sisters, as I've been telling people this weekend, it's one thing for Jesus to rise from the dead. It's a whole different thing to believe that he has risen from the dead. You know, the gospel today, you see a very human response. We hear this, the disciples are afraid, they're fearful. And you really can't blame them, everyone, because the one that they followed, Jesus Christ, has been crucified, he's died, and now they're worried that because they were his followers, that they were going to follow what happened to him. And so what are they? They're fearful. So I studied the word fear this week. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about it today, especially when we have something that happens to us very quickly in our lives. I'll give you an example of that here in a moment. But something very quickly, and what happens to our body when we become full of fear? Okay, here are some things that I can mention. First, loads of adrenaline run through our veins. Second, there is a noticeable increase in the heart rate. And third, our attention becomes very focused. Here's an example I can give you. Let's pretend Father Schuster rigged this church in such a way that right now a snake fell on top of every one of you. Right on top of you. Okay? Now, when something like that happens, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to fight it, or else you're going to run out the doors of this church and you're going to be yelling, "Snake, snake." But you know something? What's interesting when we do this, we call that fight or flight. Here are some details I could ask you. What kind of snake was it? Was it real or was it rubber? What color was it? How long was it? And you know, you'd probably say, I don't know, and I don't care. But do you notice what happens? Think about this in your life. When something happens and all of a sudden fear kicks in, what do we tend to do? We don't worry about the details because what kicks in is our instinct. What is used of the disciples today, everyone? They are afraid. And what do? They lock the door. Now, if you were to ask them, everyone, what happened in that room after they locked the door, they'd probably say this, "I don't remember." But it's here, everyone, that we notice something different about Jesus. You know, when Jesus risen, the body of the risen Jesus can do certain things. He can still sit and he can talk, he can eat and he can drink. But isn't that fascinating, everyone, how he can come in and out of doors? How he can pop right here, he could come right in front of me right now. And just disappear just as quick. Okay, those are things that we all know. But there's one thing that we realize that Jesus could do prior to his death and even everyone with his resurrection. And it was this. He could do this, everyone. He could breathe. He could breathe. Brothers and sisters, if you actually read the story of Genesis 2 and Adam's creation, we realize this, that God created Adam out of what? Dust. But the thing that you don't realize, everyone, is once he created out of dust, that Adam just laid there. He was this lifeless form. And so what does God do, everyone? He leans over and he breathes into these things. He breathes into his nostrils. And with that, what happens? All of a sudden, Adam comes to life. Those two details tell us something. The number one, everyone, creating from dust, and number two, breathing into these. God said, this creation is different from animals, fish, birds, snakes. This creation is different. Well, I asked myself this week, why would God breathe into these? Why not this? Let me ask you something. What's the primary purpose of this? eating, and also what I'm doing right now, speaking. Some of you may say breathing, but I'm going to throw that out the window here in a moment. What's the primary purpose of these? Right. Some of you may say smelling, but think about how often we actually use this to smell. Are you using these right now to smell with? Probably not. Okay? The receptors would kick in if all of a sudden something like fire, we could smell fire. But you know what the purpose of these is? It is to breathe. Okay? When I used to go to the dentist, my dentist used to tell me, try not to breathe through your mouth, but breathe through your nose, and that way you will not fog up that little dental mirror that he uses. Here's another example. For those of you who have a spouse that snores, what do you want to do to him? Well, you don't want to kill him, but what do you want to do to him? How do they breathe? They breathe through the nose. Fascinating, everyone, when I preach, I get to watch all of you. You realize when I preach, most of you sit there like this. And this isn't bad. This is just the way you are. Mouth isn't open. So how do you stay alive? You're breathing through your nose. Fascinating when you sit there and you think about it. Okay? And so what do we learn that Jesus does in the gospel of today, everyone? Well, the guys are alive. And so what does he do? He breathes on them, everyone. He actually breathes. Mouth, nose. Try that sometimes when you breathe. Try to breathe just everyone using your mouth. When you actually do this, mouth and nostrils. And when he breathes on them, what is he trying to tell them? Number one, I am alive. And remember this, you too are alive. And number two, when he breathes on them, what does he give them? The Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, what do they get? They get, everyone, forgiveness, divine mercy, Sunday mercy. And they're also given peace. Now, on comes Thomas. And they tell him all these things about what they've seen with Jesus, what he's done, that he's alive and he's risen. And you know what the three words that he utters out are? I don't believe. I don't believe. Here's a little story, everyone. It shows us how common we can say these words in the world. Once read a story about a woman named Anna. Anna lived in Charlottesville, Virginia. She claimed to be Anastasia, the lone surviving child of the last Tsar of Russia. Many persons believed her claim and supported her attempt to gain the late Tsar's inheritance. After she died, an American network did a DNA test on some of her tissue being stored in a local hospital. They compared her DNA with that of a member of the British royal family who was a close relative of the late Tsar. The results showed that Anna was not the Tsar's daughter. When the network told one of her staunch supporters of the findings without missing a beat, the first words out of his mouth were, guess what? I don't believe. I don't believe you. I don't believe. You know something? What does this mean? Well, everyone, if it's hard to believe with scientific proof, how hard must it be to believe the unbelievable without seeing it yourself? Here's something maybe you never thought about with Thomas, but this is what I think Thomas is having a hard time wrapping his head around. The disciples come, they say, we've seen the Lord, he is risen, he's breathed on us, we've been given a command to go forth, sin, forgive, remit if you need to remit it, retain if you need to retain. But here's the thing that I would ask. If you really believe that Jesus is risen, why are you still doing this? Click. 8 days later, They gather again in that room. And what do? They still lock the door. My question would be, if Jesus is risen, why are you scared? Why are you locking? And you know something, everyone? Maybe there's a little Thomas in all of us. What do I mean by that? Hey, maybe we're not like the rest of the disciples. Maybe we don't like being contained. Somebody's got to go out and get the food. Maybe Thomas doesn't like being contained behind locked doors. And maybe there's a little bit of us that still kind of has a hard time wrapping our heads around the whole thing. And that's the beauty of Jesus today. He's patient. Notice what Jesus never does. He doesn't run after Thomas. We don't see Jesus running after him, pulling on the back and say, hey, wait a minute, Thomas. Wait. He waits. And when Thomas finally comes around, he isn't harsh. He simply says this, peace be with you. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. I'm alive. I'm risen. And you know, when you came through the doors of this church, into this church today, everyone, I don't care where you were, how you came in, Jesus wants to say the same thing to every one of you. And here it is. Peace be with you. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. I'm alive. I am risen. Brothers and sisters, experience that peace and live it. As we proclaim once again the great Easter proclamation, Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. Alleluia.